Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friendos? Welcome into the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am the Welsh, that is Bogman. It is a horrible day. Hope everything is going as bad for you as it's going for us and Brandon Pfaadt.
I hope everything's going well for you guys.
Nope, I don't. I hope you feel how I feel right now,
which
is devastated. I've come to terms.
Give me a break.
Brandon Pfaadt, I would like him to be released. I would like Madison Bumgarner to come back. I am the dumbest person on the planet that I ever thought a Diamondbacks pitcher could be good. It's silly. He's the worst call of all time. And I have changed my free Pfaadt sign. I left the F at the top. I took out a couple letters and I bought a vowel. So you guys can guess what the new sign is going to say. It's a horrible day. It's a god awful day. And good thing we live streamed the whole thing, Bog, so everybody could see the devastation on our faces as Brandon Pfaadt gave up homer after homer after homer. I mean, he has a criminal speeding record with the amount of 105 speeding tickets he gave to hitters, because 105, 106, 107. He's the worst pitcher that has ever pitched in Major League Baseball. And he should be released, and you should cut him for Patrick Corbin right now.
If you guys were looking for hot takes, you have reached the right spot here. So Welsh very upset with Brandon Pfaadt's first start, but it's like the Diamondbacks. It's so funny about this start to me. I mean, it's not funny. It sucks. I don't like that he got smashed, because he really did. Like it felt to me like he got so smashed that I was thinking, is he tipping pitches? Like, they're sitting on everything. Like, all they were doing is waiting for him to throw not the fastball, and then they crushed it. It was a slider, the changeup. They just rocketed. Josh Young had 2 homers, lots of high exit velocity, stuff like that. Like, I feel like he was tipping his pitches and stuff, but I don't know, man. And the Diamondbacks leave him in there. They get up 6-4. They leave him in there. He's already getting smashed. He's already have high exit velocity. He's getting no swing and misses on anything. And they left him in there because yesterday you go to the bullpen on a Zach Gallen start. He leaves with the lead and the bullpen gives it up. So they're like stuck between a rock and a hard place. What do? They leave him in even when he's getting smashed and he gives it up instead of going to the bullpen and letting them get
the problem. It wasn't even like he was getting smashed. It was that it all fell apart. Though. And this is what he did in the mind. No, but again, what I'm saying is it's not like, it literally just happened. Bam, 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 bam. It all happened in one big shot of all these balls getting crushed and homers. They didn't even have time because they didn't have anybody warming up in the fifth. And they did. Here's the end of the day. Outside of all of the frustration, he came out the gates okay. You know, he was fastball changeup. Something happened in the start where he knew he didn't have the changeup anymore because it was getting rocked. So he started going to the slider, and he threw some absolutely disgusting sliders. The problem that I think has been pointed out in a lot of places is that that slider has a big flyball tendency, and no one's scared of his fastball. His fastball did not look good, though it has a lot of movement. Here was the polar opposite. Here's the yin and yang of his fastball. 23 swings on his fastball induced one whiff. Yeah. It literally can't get worse than that. On the inverse of it, he had 14 called strikes on his fastball, which left him with a 28 CSW. Think about that. One whiff on his fastball through 23 swings, which is a 4% whiff rate. He still had an almost 30% CSW because of the called strikes. So that's what that fastball did. The other pitches, slider, changeup, both had a 40% whiff rate. He decided like one random at bat to start throwing his curveballs, and it looked pretty good. It had a called strike on it, but his pitch mix wasn't great. His overall stuff on everything but the fastball was okay. The changeup was getting hit, and he left too much stuff in the zone. It was
that's it.
But it was such a bad performance. It's going to leave a really nasty taste. As people were asking, like, hey,
everything was
Bryce
bad.
Miller thought. It was bad top to bottom. And I haven't counted yet, Boggs, but how many do you think were hit like 100 or higher against? I want to try to count many. What you guess.
I mean, probably like 10. It was so many of them. And like you said, 9 hits and only 1 walk. So he was in the zone too much. And it was like, when he missed so far outside. The changeup wasn't working, so you kind of take that out of the repertoire immediately. So now you're down to fastball slider for a guy that can't locate the fastball and no one's afraid, or can't locate the slider and no one's afraid of his fastball. Well, just added up to be a bad start, like I said.
What's the number you think? I have the number of 100 mile an hour hard. It was literally 10. It was literally 10 balls hit 100 miles an hour or harder.
Yeah, I wasn't sitting there counting, but you could just tell, like, there are some of them that were hit so hard they ate up, you know, like Cattell's not a great second baseman anyway, but ate him up on one of them. And we saw the exit velocity on that one was 107. Of course, Cattell also got ate up on a 70 mile an hour hit with a weird bounce. But yeah, man, it was not the best start for Fott, but he's in the rotation now. Unlike the Welsh said, they're not going back to Madison. Madison Bumgarner. I mean, I don't care. I'd rather have Fott out there for 4 innings than throw Peter Solomon out for 1. So
here's the only thing that Fott has going for him. And I was worried about this. I didn't mention it when we were like going live, but I was worried about him getting to the 5th inning, what was going to happen. But here was my one caveat. He's got a great schedule next week. And I thought this is a really tough start on the road against the number 2 offensive team. They average 6.5 runs per game. They scored 7 in the first 5. So this is a really tough matchup. Next week, he's got Miami and then San Francisco, both at home. So that kind of opens up some opportunities, both strikeout-y teams-ish. San Francisco much more than the Marlins.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
it. In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
But you got 2 home games. You've got the first game out of the way. People want to know, like, do you cut him? The toughest part is you guys asking me, like, Bryce Miller or him, blah, blah, blah. At this point, there's so many good ones. If you want, I still, at the end of the day, like Fott, and I'm hopeful that it's going to change, but I definitely like him less after seeing that in living color and like live watching the game with the Baseball Savant page go. It was bad. It was bad on so many fronts that if you wanted to go any of the Millers over him, I think you can, but there's a great matchup coming up. And I think the most important thing with him is going to see how he adjusts. And that I think is the key, how he adjusts off the second start. But I don't have a lot of redeeming stuff outside of his slider. Sweeper pitch is one of the nastiest pitches I've seen. It's gross when it works. but the changeup was average. He couldn't throw it in the zone. Fastball kind of stunk, and he won't throw the curveball, which is also disgusting. So I don't really know what to do. I don't know how long this is going to take with him.
He's a rookie. He's going to have ups and downs. Well, this is a down.
Mason Miller threw like a no-hitter through seven.
Yeah, well, I mean, Miller okay.
Threw a no-hitter.
Yeah, all right, but I mean, they didn't
struck out eight.
Well, they didn't play the Rangers, so I don't know what to tell you. You no. even pointed out how the Rangers are the second best offensive team in baseball right now, and they're on fire. And like I said, I will not be shocked if we find out tomorrow that he was tipping pitches because they were sitting on off-speed stuff that he wasn't throwing that much and hammering it. So something was off. He's either way too in the zone or he's tipping. Something was wrong. So,
well, I mean, it is so apparent to your point. Like, I would love to know the information that, what was it, 14 called strikes on fastballs because they didn't give a crap about the fastball.
They were waiting to go.
Anything secondary in the zone is what they were waiting on, and they were just punching it. And it was mainly that changeup. And he stopped using it towards the end. And then he became a two-pitch pitcher with one pitch that struck no fear in, and that's a big worry. So there's some changes that are going to have to happen in there. You know, I'm super – we had literally shut that game off like 20 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago. I'm worried about it, but I would also point out like there might be some buy opportunity in there, you know, to see if that gets fixed. Like he's a smart guy. He, you know, had the most innings pitched, most strikeouts, high K per nine. Like we can get that going. Something's got to change though. Something's got to change in that fastball. So very, very worrisome, but make your own decision. I don't know. Bryce Miller, take whoever the hell you want, do whatever you want with it. But it's a really good start next week. And I would do that. So that's how the episode's starting. Good thing we did it. Good thing he couldn't have just got out of it and it would have been a much happier start, except he gives up four runs in the fifth and literally have to turn off the stream because everything is garbage. You know what's not garbage? Nick Pollock from Pitcher List, because he is here today. If you didn't read the caption on the episode, Nick was watching that. We are going to talk about Brandon Pfaadt, unfortunately. We'll be watching this together, or we'll be recording together, I think, as Gavin Stone will be pitching. So we'll probably have some live Gavin Stone talks. We'll talk about some pitchers, some stuff, and some things. So Nick Pollock from Pitcher List is on the pod. We've also got your voicemails in this league at gmail.com where you can send them thoughts, you know, trades, pickups, prayers, anything but Brandon Pfaadt questions. You can
T's
send
and
to P's. The voicemail. Yep, T's yeah. and P's. You can do that. We're going to be doing your voicemails. All of that is ahead of us. If you guys want, come and check us out over at inthisleague.com. That's actually where we posted the live stream was happening there. Also, you can follow us on our Twitch and get notified, but we let everybody know we were doing a live stream, and thanks to the Patreon is why we can do some of those things. So you want to support us, get access to the stuff, inthisleague.com, sign up today. I'm shooting for Friday to have an update on the prospect and dynasty list, and that will be in your mailbox. Worst case, it'll be Monday. It'll be one of those two, but I'll have all those updates set for you. That's at the $5 level. You can get in on the GroupMe rooms, hang out, chat, do the stuff and things. We would love to have you guys there. And also, this episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Yes, Underdog is back sponsoring some ITL pods. Promo code ITL will get you a 100% match up to $100. Now you ask yourself, Welsh, it's not best ball season. What can I do on Underdog for baseball? Well, they've got daily drafts. And Bogdan and I, even when we weren't sponsored by Underdog, we were doing some of these where you can do, it's like a, I think it's like a 4 or 5 person draft, like players. And we literally went up against each other. Bam, bam. Well, we can set up some daily leagues. It's DFS ish where we're just going up against each other and the pick'em contest. If you followed me on Twitter, you've seen, I've posted out some big wins where it's essentially more or less than certain prop stats. It is a fun way to take your fantasy and translate it over, and tons and tons of states can do it. You'd be surprised how many. So go and check it out. Download the app. See if you can be a part of it. Use our promo code ITL. And Bogman and I are going to have some Patreon-only contests we are going to do as well. But let us know. Use a promo code. Hook up the boys. Hook yourself up and get a match up to $100 using promo code ITL on Underdog Fantasy. So we're all doing bad. Everything is really horrible in life. And nothing generally goes right, except when it's Miller time. Bryce Miller, Mason Miller, both go out. You want to talk about the exact polar opposite performance of Brandon Pfaadt. Bryce Miller is probably the other pitcher that I got associated with so much this offseason. I wish I never spoke about Brandon Pfaadt, but I was the only person that spoke about Bryce Miller because I actually talked with him. And he gets a call up from Double A. which my assumption, Boggs, was actually that they just don't want those pitchers to deal with anything in Tacoma and get lit up in PCL.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So he didn't have a great double A, but he comes up and he looked everything that Brandon Pfaadt wasn't. 11 whiffs on 29 swings on his fastball. He had a 40% CSW on his fastball. He threw some cutters, which I think is his version of the gyro. And then he has a slider, which was his sweeper. He ended up with a 33% swing and miss rate, a 38 CSW, and 13 swing and misses that go with Mason Miller, who had a freaking no hitter going, who ended up with the big, big fastball number. And for some reason, I'm not seeing the.
But yeah, he got pulled. He had 7 no hit innings, threw 100 pitches. Got
100 pitches, 13 whiffs on 44 total swings, 60% whiff rate on his slider. He had a 30% overall swing rate and a 23 CSW, but he walked a few, got his pitches up. Miller time had both these guys going. But the thing is Mason Miller, who has like a huge stuff plus fastball, showed off what he can do. I think on both sides, little inconsistency and stuff. And Bryce Miller, obviously going up against the A's, was phenomenal. What say you right now? What say you, Bryce Miller, Mason Miller, and Brandon Pfaadt?
I mean, I'm probably putting Bryce at the top because it seems like that spot's open, you know, with Flexen being out of the rotation here. So I probably go Bryce first. I go Pfaadt second and then Mason last. And they're all, you know, I mean, one more start from Pfaadt, that's bad. Pfaadt, that's bad like this. I'm done. Like for this season, for redraft leagues, like I don't need to work through it with him. So I can be done in that scenario. But I don't know. I like the guy on, you know, the Mariners staff. This team is pretty good. They should be getting wins. And, you know, Mason Miller did get to, you know, go up against the Mariners without, you know, what's his name? Julio in the lineup, because he is still dealing with back issues. So a little bit of an easier time for him last night. But yeah, those guys look good and Pfaadt looked terrible. So yeah,
look at this two bugs. This is going to be good. This is going to be a good one today. I want to see what this guy has to say. This guy undertweets me. Yeah. You should all be fired. This dude doesn't have a single elite pitch or even good. Nothing. But
I mean, why would you even like after you read that first line? I mean, why even bother? You don't give this idiot any attention. So.
Oh, yeah. No, gone. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely gone. Gone. But that's kind of like the level of we're at with Pfaadt versus some of those guys. I'm really torn on how high I want to go with Bryce Miller. I think the A's definitely played a role in this. They played a decent role in this. You also can't have the fastball be everything, and it kind of was everything here. So I want to see some of the secondaries. So I'm going to monitor Bryce Miller pretty hardcore. I mean, honestly, I kind of think they're all in the same boat. They're in the same pot. I know that might sound weird because Pfaadt was such garbage and Bryce Miller was so good. I think there's unknowns kind of across the board, but that's why I don't have an issue if you wanted like Bryce one and Mason two and, you know, Brandon Pfaadt in a garbage pile, like however you want to do that. I do think they live in a same world. And I think that's how you can take those guys. But it was phenomenal. I'm very curious at what Nick has to say about those guys, because the Bryce Miller one, I think, is more unknown than where we're at with Mason Miller. And, you know, Pfaadt was garbage. And hilariously, when you look at the whole crew of the young pitchers.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Mr. Pitcherless, Nick Pollock on the podcast. Positive vibes, Nick. You are here to not only school us on pitching, because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, apparently, but also just to up the vibes. So how are all the positive things in your life? Nothing negative going on for Nick Pollock, huh?
Nothing negative for you either, Welsh. Yeah. You know, nothing. Nothing. You are a human who is doing wonderful things, and I don't want you to forget that, okay? Mm. That's what's going on. So many good things. Did you see the Millers last night? I watched it. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Great movie. Believe me, everyone was hugging and kissing me about Bryce Miller, and now everybody is pushing me off a cliff because of Brandon Faught. So I'm well aware. We're definitely going to talk about those and all the things. I do want to talk. We're going to talk about the He Who Shall Not Be Named here shortly. But I want to know everything is going on in your world, though. What's going down on Pitcher List? What's going down with you? I know you got the morning streams where you set up and do your rankings and stuff like that. What's going down in your world?
Yeah, I'm still doing those morning streams on Twitch, 10 a.m. to noon every day. Just come by and ask some questions, twitch.tv/pitcherlist. But, you know, it's the normal stuff. We have PL Pro this year. Come check that out and get our PLV projections every day, weekly as well for fantasy. But I don't know, just enjoying baseball. And I'm still enjoying it despite what happened today, because that's what happens every year. Look, we should be so happy that so many have done well.
Yeah,
and it was destined that one of these wasn't necessarily going to work away. But it's not going to always be this way. Okay, I see a frown on this man's face, and I can't let that stick around. It's got to get out of here.
But let's get down to brass tacks here. Let's avoid my frown. Avoid all that stuff.
Like watch your positive PTI right
attitude.
Now.
Your positive, like, well, you know what? Good. I will actually commend a lot of you my followers. On
you did. You did specifically ask for it to change,
and then I got super annoyed.
Yeah. Like a normal teenager. This is what I work with every day, Nick. By the way, every day.
Like, I don't want to work with this. It's funny. Most of the people actually on Twitter on my posts are like, they're silver lining it. They're like, but Carol was okay. And everyone's actually looking at the positive. So let's avoid the like, hey, this happens, rookie stuff. And let's look at the brass tacks of what just happened with Brandon Faught. We all watched it. And what I obviously saw was a guy that was giving up freaking meatballs left and right. He gave up 10 100 mile an hour XEV hits through the game. He got crushed on the back half of the game. His fastball was fooling nobody, and it really seemed like they knew exactly what they were waiting and sitting on. There are redeeming things because the slider, I think, is disgusting. His curve looked great when he actually threw it, but he had no command of the changeup, and guys just weren't swinging at the fastball. So you tell me, we've already talked about it at the top. You tell me, is there something to redeem out of what we saw in Brandon Faught and knowing his history and led the minor leagues and strikeouts and stuff like that? Is there a redeeming factor, or is this I'm the hell out on Brandon Faught after what we saw in his first start?
No, I have a rule, which is I don't start prospects in their MLB debuts. There's a reason why, because there's always, you know, what you see in the first game is never what you see through the rest of the year. They're human beings. Okay. There's all this jitters. There are all the emotions going on. You know, what they are in the first game is never the same pitcher. I was a little disappointed to see that the fastball wasn't as dominating as I thought. It's actually really funny. When I understood Brandon Faught before the start of the season, it was, hey, four seamers, really good, top of the zone, excellent VAA, and that's the dominating pitch. And all of a sudden you have the slider that misses a ton of bats. And there you go. That's Brandon Faught. And then just yesterday, it's like, oh, by the way, Brandon Faught has an 85 stuff plus on his fastball. Like, what? That's not supposed to be it. And my understanding is, though, that that's just this year. So there might be something kind of weird with the fastball now. But I remember seeing him in the spring. I was like, that's a really good fastball that plays up super, super well.
We did a lot of talk about like the elevation, you know, affecting the PCL, affecting stuff plus overall on like fastballs. Uh-huh. And you saw that. But it also doesn't excuse how bad that was. Like, yeah, I think it's a portion of it, but it's not
right,
the excuse.
So a couple of more things here. Didn't really elevate effectively today with that fastball. The Rangers, hey, what do you know? Top three WRC plus in the majors, Texas Rangers. In an MLB debut.
Did you explain that to Blake Snell, by the way?
I mean,
WRC Blake's, plus?
What?
Did you not see that? Yeah.
did I see that?
Yeah, I'm sure everyone tagged you. So,
you know, honestly, I'm not disappointed in Blake Snell. I'm more disappointed in Dan Orsillo and Mudcat for not knowing what it was.
Yeah, that was.
Hold on.
I'm gonna play it. I'm gonna play it real quick. If people haven't heard this, I was shocked at the whole thing.
Me too. I got a question for y'all.
Sure.
On the board,
Blake Snell, not me.
Question. On the board, it said CARP WRC plus. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
What? You got anything?
Where's it at? Where do you see it?
So, no, no, it's not up there now. But oh, okay. When he was up.
Weighted last runs created, I think it is.
What's the plus?
Plus means it's a plus. It's a plus.
I have, put that on. I'm giving RotoWare or you guys right now. What's the plus? Plus, you that is 100% shirt right there. Plus. What's the plus?
That'd be great.
Plus.
For
that'd be a good commercial ad too for Pitcher Plus. All right, sorry, we go down a rabbit hole.
So about that with Blake Snell, he doesn't need to worry about that. He just needs to get a slider for strikes. He went 2 for 10 in his last start, but the curveball was really good finally. So I'm encouraged by Blake Snell. I think he's on the mend. Anyway, Brandon Fought. Hi, what's up, buddy? I went against the Rangers and they're super, super good. And as MLB debut, what do you know? They took advantage of his mistakes, unlike a team called the Jokeland Athletics. And that is just, you know, if Fought went against them, it would have been a much different start. I think we'd be talking about this a lot differently. So you really can't read too much into this one. Yes, I am discouraged by the state of Brandon Fought's four seamer right now. Does it mean that I'm out? No. It means that, okay, it's going to get better from here.
Okay. How about in a redraft league? Are you?
I'm holding on. Yeah,
you're still holding. You're not picking.
Yeah,
up
I mean there are so many. Here's the thing. So this is the question, and these are the questions I'm getting the past week. I'm sure you guys have gotten too, which is just impossible.
Yeah. Why like, okay. are you an analyst? Why are you alive?
Yeah. Here we go.
Why?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Gosh, yeah. Those two.
You know,
those
if two. You actually get those, I'm so sorry. I mean, first of all, you never acknowledge them. You never actually need to respond to them. If you do
I'm
deal with those,
I'm being very dramatic.
But man, it's just. I'm so sorry if you guys feel that way. We're all going to be wrong a ton. Anyway,
it's okay. It'll be okay.
You're allowed to be angry if you're angry while we made the ranking, not after the fact. So, with Bryce Miller, Mason Miller, Tanner Bibee, Logan Allen, who else is in your Taj Bradley? We have Gavin Stone going right now. Like, how do we rank all of these guys? Where does Fought fit in? Is Louis Varland going at 7 today? I'm excited about him because he has 2 takes harder velocity. I put him Fought underneath both Millers, Bibee and Allen at the moment.
Gavin Stone, I think that's the proper range.
Isn't impressing me in what I'm seeing right now. It's
making
nice,
me feel better about Fought, Gavin Stone, mainly because he's a Dodger, but yes.
I mean, I've only seen like an inning or two, really, but what I expected is happening, which is a really good changeup. That he favors a ton, but the slider and the fastball are not very impressive to me.
Yeah, currently on those pitches, by the way, he's through 3. He's on the top of the third. He's already put 55 pitches up. He's had 2 whiffs on 11 swings on his changeup, which he's throwing 47% of the time. The four-seam fastball, he's throwing 44% of the time. He only has 1 whiff on. And his slider, he has thrown 9% of the time. He has a 22% CSW, which hilariously is lower than Fott's, I believe. I didn't look at the end.
I mean, I wouldn't
Fott
be surprised.
Like a 28.
Fott and the whiff rate is pitches. Even lower. When you allow, what was it, 4 or 5 home runs? Like, is that sustainable? No. Yeah.
Well, that was his minor league issue.
You know, I mean, okay, PCL, also the Rangers in an MLB debut. Sure, you might have an elevated home run rate, but it's not going to be 5 a game, y'all. Right?
Yeah.
So that's where I stand on this. We all knew that not 100% of all of these prospects are going to be the greatest things. Still, there is an upside to be chasing at this point. And you were mentioning beforehand that the schedule is still good for Brandon Fought moving forward.
Yeah, Marlins, Giants next week, I think 2
you
home games.
You see what happens?
That's encouraging across it. Since you were just on Stone, anything else you want to add to it? You said you're not impressed. It's heavy changeup usage. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be another one that, you know, people are going to cry about because Gavin Stone is a big name. He did some struggles in the minor leagues, but this changeup, the changeup and fastball are equally not fooling anybody, which is part of the problem. Fought, the fastball was fooling literally no one. Both of these pitches are not effective enough as he's given up 4 runs in the top of the third with 2 outs.
I mean, I can't wait for the Triforce of Miller, 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 the 3 Muska Millers. Is the one I'm going with right now once Bobby Miller arrives.
Yes.
And I think he's the one that you actually get excited for with the Dodgers. It's also a 6 man right now. And Thor maybe is out, we would assume. I don't know. I imagine if Gavin Stone is this, which is just changeups where he doesn't. I mean, today he didn't really know where they were going. I imagine they're better moving forward. Again, MLB debuts. You don't start them.
But if the four seamer and slider are just kind of pedestrian, then yeah, I'm not interested in this. And I would think the Dodgers might move on from Stone relatively quickly if this is the case. But I don't know yet. And I think you can move on a little from Gavin Stone. I'm least encouraged about Stone out of all of these.
I was encouraged talking with Eno. 4 of 5 pitches in his debut, Bobby Miller in AAA had 100+ stuff plus on them.
And which is average, just so we're clear. 100 is average.
Three of them were, I'm saying, over 100. Like, oh, three okay. of them were like one. One was like 150.
Because
we, like 130,
unlike Ursillo and Mudcat and Snell, know what.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
The plus mean. Relative to 100, and if you're at 105, that means you're 5% better than the average.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Ta-da! It's very simple. But I will say what makes Mason Miller and Bryce Miller much more appealing is that it's rooted in a strong fastball that we can believe in. And that to me is the number one skill set I look for in prospect pitchers is just if they're going to translate their success is about, is it fastball dominance? Is it overpowering still? And those pitches are phenomenal. And then you look at Logan Allen, who actually throws effective fastballs inside the zone. He's able to work it incredibly well. I'd say actually the best command of the lot is Logan Allen. You've been following these guys for ages. Welsh, I'm just getting like super exposed to them, so I finally have takes on them. But correct me at any point here where I'm wrong. And then Logan Allen has a really nice slider underneath, and then the changeup sometimes is there. It's getting labeled as a splitter. It's not a splitter. And then Bybee is so intriguing because to me he has four secondaries, not three. The slider's too distinct of like a cutter and a slider. And once he stays verti, as it says on his glove, that four seamer is going to be really effective up. But he has like all these secondaries he throws for strikes, and that's like a complete pitcher. That's like he's the most complete one of the group. So those are like, I love all four of those. And I think Sfott and Stone are definitively a step down.
Okay, so it's like how you're tiering it out is the Millers and the Guardians pitchers. They have sustainability. Like Allen and Bybee don't look like they're going anywhere. There's even talk now.
I hope not. Yeah.
Well, the recent talk with that team has been who the fifth starter is going to be, and it's between Battenfield and Plesac. So it does not have to do with Allen. Allen and Bybee are kind of locked in, so that's a real big positive. But if you're thinking about sustainability, the actual rank is what? Allen, Miller.
Well, okay. So you have a couple questions. Is one, what happens when Tristan McKenzie returns, and then what happens when Aaron Civale returns?
That does take one of those Guardians out,
right? Or they're like, Cal Quantrill, you stink.
Yeah,
go back to San Diego. Sorry, no, you're a nice guy. I'm just messing around, Quantrill. So there's that question with Mason Miller. The Athletics showed yesterday. I mean, sure, it was a no hit bid, but he went up to 100 pitches. I mean, the question is like, oh, he's not going to get innings. And it's like, there's 7 innings, 100 pitches right there. Sure, I don't expect that every time, but he's not going to go 4 and dive like any anticipation of the first two. And the Athletics have yet to get a win with any of their starting pitchers this year. None.
That's cool.
Okay, they're 0-15 officially. So my God, they need Mason Miller. All right. He has to pitch for them. So that's going to happen. I don't think there's going to be like this 80 to 100 inning limit that some people have floated out there, which it seems ridiculous to me. I think 120, 130 seems right. Maybe he even goes up to 140 because the Athletics just go, whatever, just go and pitch. Bryce Miller is fascinating because Robbie Ray's out for the year. And he's the clear number five. Like, what, Chris Flexen is going to take that over from him? There's no battle. And as long as Bryce Miller is fine, you could say Emerson Hancock, sure. But then he would replace whoever else gets injured. Because at some point, something's going to happen in that rotation. It happens to every rotation. And that's where Hancock, I think, would come in. But Bryce Miller right now has that. And that's the most secure winning rotation spot. The only problem I have is that the secondaries are worse than Mason Miller's. And so I wonder, is the fastball enough, right? So this is why I don't have a straight answer for you, because there's a reason
Mason Miller's such a better pitcher, but he plays for the A's.
But right. No, I agree. A's, I don't think.
Well, Mason Miller's command is a little weird, but I think his ceiling is higher because the cutter is just so filthy. The slider is so filthy. By the end of that game, the seventh inning, Mason Miller, last three pitches were all sliders and they were beautiful. I mean, absolutely gorgeous as he took down Teoscar Hernandez. I was making so many noises at I don't know, when was that? Like 11:30 at night in my bedroom. And sorry, New York neighbors, but doesn't matter. It was incredible.
Incredible.
Okay. And Bryce Miller, again, is missing in a good place of high and low and not east west, which is good. I like to see that as well. It makes it a lot easier for him to get away with those mistakes. So it turns fewer pitches into waste pitches as it would if you're growing.
Very vertical pitcher. Yeah, it's an interesting way
to
put it.
It's good. I like that. So yeah. I like them all. I don't know. I can't really tell you which one's the most sustainable. I'm so sorry. No, there are all these different variables involved.
But I agree with you on that. And I kind of said something similar with Bryce Miller that he lives so hard on his fastball. That's going to be hard to repeat. He's still learning, though, because he changed his slider. The designation they have on StatCast was cutter slider, and he told me it's gyro sweeper. That's how he sees it. But he wasn't comfortable enough with the gyro yet.
Four different terms for the same pitch.
I know, it's ridiculous. But if I remember correctly, a gyro is seen closer to a slider or to a cutter, and he threw his cutter more than he threw his slider in this last start. So I think he's still really trying to learn to develop, but he has the arsenal. I just don't know if he's gotten up to it yet. So I get what you're saying, that the secondaries are not quite there. Miller has got huge, big, overpowering stuff with some inconsistencies in a Hunter Greenish type of way. So there's a lot of question marks kind of around all these. Ooh. It actually kind of takes me back to being Tanner Bibee might be my favorite of all of them, because I think his they designated as, it's almost like a 12-6 curve. It's disgusting. And he commands crazy.
Can we just go to February 2024 where I just only draft these guys?
That's all
I want to do. I have one league where I have five of them.
You know? Have and I'm just all those guys.
My 12 teamer.
Nick, are you going to have all those guys over Sandy because of all of his struggles
right
now?
To me.
I'm wondering. Just what is wrong with Sandy? Yeah. Well, Wells wants somebody else to get got today. What is wrong with Sandy? And I mean, are we expecting this to get much better?
I expect his sinker to be better than it is right now. It's a 428 wOBA. And that's just not going to last. 19% CSW on it. It's getting hit more than it usually does. And I don't think that's typical. I think this is just kind of, Sandy goes through these stretches at times where he's not really executing as well as he normally does. I'm not really worried about it. I know it's frustrating. I have him in a league because I just wanted to have a league where I have Sandy Alcantara. And it's really just on the sinker right now. The changeup, four seamer slider, pretty much doing the things that it normally does. And actually the slider is killing it with swing strike rate. It's a 22% when it was a 15% last year, which is pretty dang cool. But yeah, we just got to wait for that sinker to get better results, and it will, because it's not going to have a 400 plus wOBA by the end of the year.
And you believe, okay. I mean, that's the big important thing here.
Yeah.
Is who has he been as a change, and do you actually believe in this readjusting? Cause I believe that he's a really great buy right now because it has been stacked bag starts. And I think this last one might've been something that had people even more freaked out. I think he's a fantastic buy.
Yeah, I'm with you. Also against Atlanta. Atlanta's a top tier offense. He's gone Atlanta. He's gone against the Phillies. That was a really bad game. He went against the Mets. I mean, when he went against the Twins, which is arguably the worst offense he's faced, which is still very good. I have five tiers of offenses. Tier one contains the Mets and Atlanta, and tier two contains the Phillies and the Twins. And Arizona's like tier three. Yeah, 9 strikeouts and 0 walks against them. And,
what is, you know, what's like, the lowest pitcher, Nick, you would trade to get Sandy right now? Like, or lowest hitter, excuse me.
It should be,
like,
yeah, I was about to say highest. Yeah, you kind of have to say highest.
Yeah, well, I want the lowest because I want to know where the bottom line
I'm going to put it this way, okay? Yeah,
here we go.
Well, no. This is pretty easy. Here we go.
Okay, all right.
I don't know where I'm going to be putting Sandy Alcantara on the list on Monday, but it's going to be around like 12 or 13. Around,
so SP, you know? Okay.
Yeah, he's still roughly around like that area. I generally, when it comes to trades, I don't do lateral trades ever. I'm not trading a position for a position for like the same one. If I ever make a trade, I'm always muddying the
dealing
waters
from depth. Yeah.
By doing currency exchanges of pitcher to hitter and then hitter to pitcher, because otherwise you will not get a deal that makes both people happy. It just,
I mean, most of the time I feel like the best deals are when both people aren't happy. Usually when the most fair deals are when you both feel a little sick by doing it. It's probably a pretty fair deal.
There you go.
Well, what about
people feel like this is the trade I should be making? So there you go.
Right. What about Burns? Like, you know, he has struggled as well. We've had other guys. Alec Manoa has been real bad. Cease hasn't been great. Lynn, Sales, Singers, Snell. You already said you're not that worried about. Who are you like? Really like, man? I'm hands off here. Who brings out the real worry? Alec Manoa is the big guy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Physically and
not getting
on this list.
Not getting the four seamer whiffs that we want to see, not developing with a slider, not improving off of the sinker last year. Manoa, I have him at 52 right now. Yeah, Cease isn't that far down. No, he's like 25. Okay. Cease is the same guy.
He's not as bad as those guys, but he hasn't been living.
I think
you'll,
I don't know, people are reacting to like games against the Rays. Matchups matter so much, especially in this small sample, like absurdly so. Don't react too strongly to dealing with the Rays twice. Like, it's the Tampa Bay Rays. They've been the number one offense this entire year. It's like going to Coors or something, you know, like think of it like that. Like, okay, I'm not going to.
So, but expand on the Manoa thing, because that was one of my bold predictions, is he was going to implode this year.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
So, get him, dragon baby.
So let's hear. Yeah. So let's see. What's the impetus of him being like a post 50 SP?
A post 50? Is it at a point of like, I don't trust that the command is going to return at this point, that he's all of a sudden going to get all of his whiffs back. He's commanding terribly. It's like, dude, it's at a point where usually it gets to this moment where you say, oh, they need to make a giant shift in some fashion that is hard for me to say that they will, or there's an injury. I mean, those are the two things that normally happen when you see a guy fall in this way with their locations, because something is inhibiting them to be the same person they were before. It's possible, absolutely possible. I have him still inside the top 60, that Alec Manoa is much better moving forward, and he should be on your 12 teamers just for the sake of this potential 7-inning dog, essentially, right? It's just right now, how could I say you should be going after Alec Manoa when Tanner Bibee's doing what he's doing?
Right.
You know, and I like to think of it this way, of remove everything he's done for the past month. Think of him like a prospect. What is the ceiling? What is the floor right now? And you see Bibee executing and looking great with more potential. And I don't feel that confident as I do in Alec Manoa at the moment. So that's why I had to push him down a lot. A lot of these young guys are just killing it.
You have Bibee above Manoa?
Yes.
Yeah, you have Allen, and what about the Millers versus?
So I didn't see Mace. I didn't Mason Miller. Yes, Bryce Miller was below because I put this on a Monday, and I was like, I don't know. Bryce Miller didn't look good in Double A from the game logs I saw. I don't have any Statcast data on him. I just know he has a good fastball and terrible command. That's literally all that I knew. And I watched him. I'm like, oh, okay, come on up, buddy. So he'll be higher than Manoa, likely, unless Manoa does something in the next start, or vice versa. Bryce Miller just looks like an atrocity against Houston Astros.
And this is like, this is a full season evaluation, because I could see how you could look at that. It is very, very reactionary, but it's in a good way. The only argument I would have on Manoa is I can understand how you can rank him in the 50s now, but do you believe it's so bad that we're not seeing the worst and then he can't get better? Because if you have him outside the 50 and every single rookie is better than him, are you essentially saying here is the value today, or is this the value?
No, you're misunderstanding what the list is.
I am misunderstanding.
Yes, you are, because the list is not a rest of season projection. It is, if I'm drafting a team today, this is the order of which I draft.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready?
Right. And that's not saying that this is better. It is saying that I am willing to take a chance on this versus the other. Right.
I mean, it is kind of
it's a weight of the potential impacts versus floors based on the trends of the current moment. Right.
Yeah.
So like, for example, there are a lot of Tobys, guys that are middling fantasy starters, that if I were making this projection, then I would say, OK, these guys would be higher ranked. But because I'm taking into account it's a 12-teamer that I'm going to be burning and churning a lot of guys, I don't want to chase the middling 390 ERA. I'd rather chase his other potential that I could be dropping next week. Gotcha. Does that make sense?
It does. I see where you're going. It's still a rest of season, but to your point, it is approach change to how we would take a drafting. The approach change to drafting is a lot of high upside. Manoa is only the only one. Like, I agree with kind of where you're at with Sandy and stuff like that. I just find it interesting because I think I understand your logic in it, but I do think it will be perceived when it reads like, oh, Manoa is not even a top 50 SP the rest of the season. When you blanket look at a rank of starting pitchers in season, that is like a generic.
This is why I write like 4,000 words of notes, and I demand you read the notes 20 million
times. You
must. It's so important to understand the context of it, and it makes it easier for me. Anytime that, like, you know, people give me comments about it, I'm like, read the notes, and I can.
You know
just,
what you
like,
need?
Not engage.
We,
it's great.
We need a chat GPT of the top start of the top pitcher list, but of you, where it has all these names of pitchers and the write up. From you in your words?
It's done. They chat GPT, I think, like, made a Patrick Corbin article in my style. And it was brilliant.
And I would love to hear it in Welsh's style, is what I would like to hear. Man. About Patrick Corbin.
It was terrifying.
It sounded like a threatening note, I believe.
It was scary.
That's funny, dude.
I'd like to see your starting pitcher one done like that. So accurate.
They don't have data. They have like data up to 2021. So I'm not going to be replaced yet. So they don't like have like last night's games. Honestly, I would love for them to write the roundup. That's one less thing I needed to do.
Well, I'm not even saying write the roundup, but like, I would just love to see like, more than anything, I'd love to see fake generic names. Like, I'd like to see a fake list of pitchers that it just created and it's in your style with the tier and stuff. Yeah. I like how you do the tier list.
Yeah, it's Jim Berenica.